Six music.
BBC Radio, Six Music Documentaries.
I'm Matt Everett, and welcome to The First Time, where we look at the pivotal first moments in the lives of some of music's most influential figures. It's no exaggeration to say that today's guest has altered the path of popular music forever. As a vocalist, songwriter, and guiding force behind the Sex Pistols and Public Image Limited, he was on the front line of some of the most dramatic and significant changes in music history, and he's just as outspoken and passionate as he ever was. I'm very pleased to introduce Mr. John Lydon.
Cool, that's a really nice introduction, so well appreciated.
Thank you very much. We're going to start right at the very start. When was the first time you were even aware of music as a young child?
From just walking past record stores and seeing the Pretty Little Colours on the discs, and my mum and dad playing that endless mix between Kaylee and the Beatles, etc., etc. So I suppose as an act of rebellion, when I was, what was I at the time? Five? I went out and I bought that hideous Ruby, Don't Take Your Love to Town. Now, who did that? That was that old sod with a beard that became a gambler later. Ruby, Don't Take Your Love to Town. And I bought it because the album cover, the single sleeve, it was sky blue on the inside and, kind of like blood red on the out. West Ham colours, but I'm an Arsenal man. But I thought, if that's the best that lot can come up with, I'll spend the money on it.
You've painted up your lips and rolled and curled your tinted hair. Ruby, are you contemplating going out somewhere? The shadow on the wall tells me the sun is going down. Take your love to town. It wasn't me that started that old crazy Asian war, but I was proud to go and do my patriotic chore. And yes, it's true that I'm not the man I used to be. Still need some company. It's hard to love a man whose legs are bent and paralyzed. And the wants and the needs of a woman your age, Ruby, I realize. But it won't be long, I've heard them say, until I'm not around. Take your love to town. She's leaving now, 'cause I just heard the slamming of the door. The way I know I've heard it slam 100 times before. And if I could move, I'd get my gun and put her in the ground. Take your love to town. For God's sakes, turn around.
I liked it because it was a strange song. It was dark, and it was about being left at home by an unfaithful wife. And so, you know, that's the culture of all of most good musics. It's all about grief and pain. And so that's more or less what Public Image really is, dealing with, like, those emotions. This is why I've always told the world I'm a folk singer by nature, not a pop singer. Folk music from the heart. I'm dealing with all of the worst emotions you could possibly ever try to run away from, but they are the real elements of what makes you a human being ultimately. And when you face up to them, you will truly understand what I am doing, and indeed what all good folk music does. It's a painful delivery, but an accurate depiction of the foibles of being a human being.
Who were your first musical heroes?
My mum and dad used to play all kinds of, like, crazy stuff, I suppose. I grew up with an absolute dislike of the Beatles. And I think it was an accurate dislike, too. And I think I was, like, probably mood perfect for my perception, because I did not find the Beatles to be accurate about human emotion. I found them to be pop craftsmiths, but not genuine. They didn't make me cry. They didn't make me happy. In fact, they're a wall of misery, really, with no perfect personifications. And then years later, you would get bands like 10cc. Wonderful wall of sound. Really well orchestrated, but utterly meaningless. And here we are, years and years later, and I'll give you an example again of what I mean. The Japanese, they love jazz music, don't they? They really do. They really do put out note-perfect jazz records. But is there one note of feeling or emotion? No. It's just note perfect. And this is the difficulty. This is what I, when I, you know, the career I've chosen. I'm in opposition to what I see as phony and fake and pony. All right? My songs are all about crying out from the deepest, darkest nether regions of your soul and sometimes reaching joyous accolades because of that. Because of that, facing a problem head on. The Sex Pistols was a really good introduction for me into the wonderful, magnificent world of pop music. All right? And I told it like it is. Right? Beyond belief. I don't think anyone could take that away from me. But there's a little bit further, isn't there? There's that inner pain that you have to resolve between you and the rest of the universe. And you have to be accurate. Now, I'll give you an example. It's like me. My eyesight's going really, really poor lately. But that's because I'm an avid reader. I love books. Why do I love books? Because the best books are written by people who reveal their soul and their inner nature to you, warts and all. That you can learn from. I find modern music resents any kind of education at all about anything. Anything at all. It's an unlearning process and a flimsy striptease chorus of over-exaggerated breasts and underdeveloped talent. You know, and I'm absolutely not complaining here about the girlies. I'm talking about the men in pop. Right? I'm fed up. Man bras. Stop it.
Taking it back, because we're going to go through the whole of your career, you mentioned the Pistols. What was the first Pistols gig like?
I don't suppose it was very brilliant for very many people, because indeed very many people weren't there. But it was good for me, and I'd always viewed myself as vaguely talentless, and I sort of, I proved the point to myself that yes, I just might be, but I do have a voice and I do have something to say, and I've never looked back from it from there on in. I don't know if the band understood that or the management, but I really hung on for dear life from that point in. Because up until then, yes, I've read loads of books and I'm a bit of a bookworm and a bit of a football hooligan too, I must admit. But the point is, I really do love to understand what makes the human psyche work and tick. And I got the opportunity to do that. Now, the Sex Pistols was really good and I loved writing the songs there. But I wanted a little bit more, you know, honestly a little bit more, that would get into the deeper, darker elements of the human soul. While in the Pistols, just before it broke up, for instance, I was writing songs like Religion, which later came to play in the public image genre. And it was bizarre for me, because as a Sex Pistol, I thought we'd pushed so many boundaries, but at the same time, the band couldn't take the boundaries that a song like that was pushing against. And in fact, they outright rejected Religion. I desperately just tried to get Sid to learn the bass line, what I thought was a bass line for it, but he could never grasp it or come to terms. Because Sid had his own emotional problems at the time. And, well, then the Pistols fell apart. I started Public Image with no money and bugger all help from the universe. But, hello, what's changed?
Well, here we go, yeah, certainly.
That's the modern situation right now, isn't it? But here we go. Wobble, right, good friend, there's another friend. He started to grasp this. And he was learning, you know. And he was learning because he'd watched Sid learn. And he thought, oh, I'll learn too. And said, this is my legacy. What I've done, I've done so bad for the human race, because all my friends have looked and go, oh, we can learn, right? And we advance things that way. There are some 37 members that have been in Pill over the years. So, you know, you're telling me who I should or should not work with. Bleeding hell. You know, they all owe me a living, not the other way round. All right, but that's an aside. However, there you go, religion, all these songs. I'm always was looking forward to Public Image. Public Image should have been the advancement of the Sex Pistols. It wasn't. And in lots of glorious ways, because of happen chance and the eventuality of history, they're two entirely separate events. And this now implies that I run a duality with my personality. And I would like you to understand, no, one is part and parcel leading into the other.
What were you listening to when you first formed
Everything and Anything, Public Image Limited? And still am.
Like what?
Everything. What do you mean, like what? Oh, my God. Well, I'll tell you what. The quicker list would be, what didn't I listen to? And here it goes. New Orleans trad jazz. All right? And I've always been very open and honest about that, which is probably why I can't get on the Jules Holland show. It's the one kind of music I can't grasp the heart and soul of it. And Jules is very wrapped around that, you know. That's his piano, really, isn't it? And he does it very well, but it's not my style. It's not my love. I don't feel the heartache in it.
You've always been very eclectic with your taste.
Not eclectic, expansive.
Expansive? You've always...
Before the Sex Pistols, I used to be a reggae DJ. Well, big deal. I didn't think that was so peculiar or odd. And I'd be quite happy, Dan the Acne Four Aces, to spin a Hawkwind track right smack in the middle of it. Nobody was complaining way back then.
Who were the first reggae artists you got into?
Didn't see it as such, just seen it as like, that's the kind of music I like and love. Tamla Motown, I wasn't so hot on because the orchestrated bits, to me, used to slow the rhythm down. And at the time, I was very shy. And the idea of, like, you know, dancing up close with a girl was appalling to me. Because I had a lot of mental problems, didn't I, because of my illnesses. And, you know, so that's what Tamla Motown was. It was more romantically led. And I wasn't healthy in that area. I made up for it since, but that's neither here nor there. But that's the explanation of music to me. Everything and anything. I never really seen a problem between Hawkwind, and this is way previous Silver Machine. We're talking a really, like, good, dark, like, Hell's Angels on tour kind of stuff that they used to kick up live. That and some serious, good, pre-early dance. Everything.
That's Master of the Universe by Hawkwind, an important influence on the young John Lydon. I asked John about the statement of intent behind Public Image, Pearl's first single from 1978.
We weren't looking to create any new, different, original sound. Not honestly, to telling you. It was to just tell it like it is. And Keith Levine, the guitarist at the time, I mean, like me, he loved Wishbone Ash, and, you know, and I love that rhythm guitar of Wishbone Ash at that time. And so there it is. It kind of creeps in, and there's bits of yes, 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 believe it or not. And everything else you can imagine. Could it be that we were just pony musicians getting it wrong, and that's what we ended up with? Or is it because we just love music? And truly, completely understand that the best music in the world is, once you've learned all the rules, you throw the rules out the window. But it's very hard to operate in that way until you understand the rules first. So, yeah, there is a learning curve, but then there's an unlearning curve. And that's what makes life brilliant and genius. And then Public Image for me, it's, what can I tell you, it's the most seriously interesting aspect of my life. It's what I leave out of the record, not what I leave in. I'll chuck everything in there, the barn door, the fridge, right? And when it comes to mixing, out they go. It's what created that initial anger, aspect, love, hate, joy, mob, war, kill, hate, all of those things that make your brain freeze or unfold all at the same time. What is Public Image? It's a massive wall of contradictions. I could be wrong, I could be right.
With Public Image Limited, when Metal Box came out, it was a really, really groundbreaking record. Can you remember what the public's reaction was like when it first
Well, haters. No, not the public. No, the public have never hated me, and it's never ever been a problem. The only people who've ever got me in between me and the public has been the press, who have consistently tried to send me off to the knacker's yard. All right.
Why?
Oh, I mean, come on. I mean, I'm Duff Review up the wazoo, me.
Why do you think that is, though?
Well, if I wrote a blues song, the lyrics would be, I woke up tomorrow morning, I guess I'm ahead of my time. Repeat ad infinitum. The reality is, it just sounds different. It's not that it's advanced, it's just different. It's how I view things. Now, a lot of people have looked on that over the years, and they've imitated it, and then it becomes a floor mat. But fair play to me now, I don't think there'd be Oasis without my squealing vocal. Right?
This is BBC Radio 6 Music.
I'm Matt Everett, and you're listening to The First Time with John Lydon. John's career has featured a number of significant collaborations, including the one you've just heard with Afrika Bambaataa. I asked him how they first came to work together.
Afrika Bambaataa is because of, like, hanging around in New York again and talking to people and being open-minded. Afrika was a great DJ. He understood that, like, it's not all soul music, disco music, black music. He'd mix Kraftwerk in there with Parliament and you know, and style it up a notch. Isn't this why I love the rave culture too? Because of this mix and match attitude. You gotta keep breaking away from the norm. And I love the bloke, and we're mates. What can I tell you? I don't know if we'll ever do that live. So many economical problems got in between. I mean, it's like the same with doing Open Up with Left Field, you know? I mean, they're friends of mine. And that's a record that took, let's say, 2-3 years in the making. Yeah, because we'd trade ditties and ideas of music in between until suddenly or somehow a tune came up and I went, oh yeah, right, I can work with that. And I did, and I went down to the studio and I laid the vocals down in one night, and then we just started layering on top because the attitude was right. Right, it wasn't done for like, oh, hi, pop groovy diggers. Let's go have a hip single here, shall we? There's a lot of serious work that goes into everything I do. There's nothing flippant.
Legacy of Public Image Limited has been overlooked a little bit because I hear it in.
The legs that keep running.
No, I mean, bands like Radiohead, bands like LCD Sound System.
Radiohead and Coldplay bug the hell out of me because it's so soulless. It just seems pointless. It's nice, but it's tosh.
Because I can hear a lot of.
It's tosh, mate, and you know it. Come on, I'll be serious. Look at the condition of the universe you live in, right? I've been out in this country for a few years and you seriously do need me back here to tell you what's what, right? And that's not me being, like, awfully grandiose about it, but you need to get some sensibility together here. That grandiose idiocy. I used to have to suffer that years ago at bands like James, right, which were the same pompous presentation, right? It's too much with no content. They don't care about ya. They care about lining their coffers. There's nothing there. You can learn. There's nothing about heart and soul. They don't know about people dying, living, aspiring. They don't sing those songs out of a sense of community. They sing them to you out of contempt, with fiddly studio gadgetry. Is this acceptable? Is this what you want? Well, you got it in spades.
With the new Pill gigs, I'm kind of interested to hear, because on the one hand, a lot of people are going to want to hear the songs kind of close to or the same as how they were before, but that goes against...
Oh, yeah, good luck.
But, yeah, but that goes against the whole
point.
No,
that goes against common sense. Don't be ridiculous. What do you think this is? The Beatles. She loves you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. You get what you're given and it'll be even better than before. What you've got to understand with Public Image Limited is that every single time we recorded, right, we only had one take, no money. And it was usually we'd have to pull up in a transit when, say, I'll give you an example, shall I? Yeah. The Jam would pull out a Gold Oak Road when they were writing their new hit, wonderful album, because they had lots of record company backing, right? We knew they left. We knew we couldn't mess with the mixing desk, so we do monitor mixes, right? So long as everything was left exactly where it was by 5 a.m. when we were out, right, in the morning, so it's midnight till 5 a.m. we'd run in, quickly record it, and that's it. and that's Metal Box for you, right? And that's basically a John Lydon approach to music. Wham bam, thank you, ma'am. All right? Have I done wrong for that? I don't think so. All right? I don't know what I'd do with a multi-million dollar budget. Well, I do, actually, but it wouldn't be much to do in the studio with it. Right, I'm being serious, because I think really, really good music is bugger all to do with flash arse production. It will kill you. It will destroy the heart and soul of what you're doing. Now, there are ways, too. I mean, you know, I've worked with Bill Laswell, you know, and Ginger Baker, and I've even, like, meddled about with Miles Davis, and these are all great people. But they have the same attitude as me. Is it good or not? Period. The end. It's not name dropping when I mention these blokes to you. It's about what works right at the time. Yeah. What is my musical influences? Well, I hope you've understood this from earlier on. Everything. Everything. Everything at all. And I know there's, like, out there at the moment, there's a movement saying Can Take Omega. Wonderful album. But don't you dare miss ABBA out of that agenda, because you are completely misunderstanding me if you do. Alright? I don't make music from a jazz snobbery point of view. I make music because I'm a folk musician for the folk. Alright? And all folk. All of us, no matter what the genres, and I'm trying to explain to you, I might not be doing this very well, but people like Miles Davis, why I got on with him is because he was a folk musician, not strictly jazz, folk. He understood that basic principle. This was him trying to communicate a human emotion to other people. That is folk music. Alright? Now, jazz is a very nice term to put on top of that, but it's really a category, isn't it? Like progressive rock or heavy metal or pop music.
That's Pill with Death Disco, a top 20 hit from 1979. I asked John, of all the many potential candidates, who might be in line to produce new material from the newly reformed Public Image Limited.
This is Pill, and we're not out there looking for big name attachments. That isn't what our music is about. I'm sure I know as much about how to use a studio as any one of them producers out there that love to stick their names on records.
True.
For me, the people I always work with are people who are friends. And I try to keep it that way, but I don't like to repeat situations either. With Pill, it's the subject matter leads the charge, and the music fits around that. But sometimes it's the other way around. But there's no hard and fast rules, and so we tend to do our own producing. It's just much better that way, rather than having someone there wave a stick and, you know, and try to organise or orchestrate said pieces of work.
So what's been...
It's made up, a lot of it, on the spot. You know, with a great deal of thought, obviously, beforehand, but improvisation is an absolute must. That's why we do this, to enjoy music, is to freeform.
What's been inspiring...
To ad lib, you know, because that's how you improve.
What's been inspiring you lyrically, then, if you say a lot of it comes from...
Life, love, death.
Life, love, death?
Yeah.
Go on.
Well, there are a few other things in between, I suppose. All of the emotions. Faults in myself, faults in others. How to come to terms with being a human being and realising that life doesn't end at 21. In fact, it just gets better.
What was the very first Pill reunion gig like? Tell me about that, because it must have felt fantastic.
I don't know about the word reunion. I've always hated that term.
Reformation, regrouping. Regrouping's a good word.
How about first Pill gig in a long while?
Okay, tell me about the first Pill gig in a long while.
I don't remember that.
No, what did it feel like being back on stage again?
Love it. I mean, I love being with the Pistols and all of that stuff, right? Because that's just, you know, a celebration of my youth in a weird way. And that's where I learned to really be a songwriter. I really enjoy my craft. But Pill to me is something far outreaching that. So just being on stage in a Pill format, 2 to 3 hours, that's the most excellent period of time on stage, and really let it rip. And really, you tell it like it is, unchastised, untrained, raw.
Do you still feel like...
Sexy, sensual, erotic, full of ticks, because I don't wash much.
Just finally, there's one more question that I want to ask you, which concerns Malcolm McLaren. What were your reactions?
I don't think anything concerns him anymore. May he rest in pieces.
What was your first reaction when you found out that he passed away?
Kind of nothing, really. I mean, I was still grieving about the death of my father. And so that's still, to my mind, much more important, and always will be. Malcolm was someone I never really got to grips with. Never meant much to me. Never did much, really. Seemed to have spent an awful lot of his life grabbing credit for things that weren't really due to him. It was a bit sad to hear that his funeral was a bit of a fiasco. Apparently there was all kinds of squabbling going on, but that's, you know, that's because he led such a silly life. I miss his space on Earth, as I do the death of any human being. I don't think I'll ever come to grips with death properly. And I know it's a vital part of life, but it's one that I think all of us can stave off for as long as we can. I hope he died respectfully. I hope for the first time in his life he stood up and faced it like a man.
I thought your tribute was really quite touching. He was an entertainer.
Yeah,
remember that.
He was. He was all of those things. So remember the good side. I'll just be stuck with all that was bad.
We've been talking about lots of firsts. We've got to finish things with the last song. What should we play? What's the last song we should finish the show with?
Well, Mr. DJ, play that song for me. Rise.
Why that one?
It was an important record to make at the time.
Thank you very much for your time, mate.
Peace.
Could be wrong. Could be wrong. I could be wrong.